Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Welcome to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We're broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, you can go to SEOQueen.com and book a complimentary strategy session. Just go to SEOQUEEN.com and book a Reach More Clients Power Session. So today's guest is the founder and CEO of IntegrativeHealingNow.com. She is a full-time student of being fully human, and she is so creative. She took her education in therapy and social work and created her own modality, which she calls matrix integration, and she's been able to help people transform their life from a somatic and also a mental and spiritual perspective. So she's been empowering people all over the country and all over the world with her content and her programs. I want to introduce to some and present to others none other.
Lisa,
how are you doing?
Background. I'm good. I'm over here in Indiana. I'm looking out in my backyard, which is very brown. Very brown over here in Indiana. No snow, though. We had snow yesterday, but it's melted. We've just got brown.
Awesome. Yeah. So tell me, like, what was your aha moment? Like, as you were going through traditional, you know, training for, you know, social work and therapy and everything, like, what made you say that, yes, the cultural context does impact individuals?
That came later, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did get a little bit of that in my Masters of Social Work program. Mm-hmm. In social work, we look at systems and we look at relationships. And I was really looking at the micro and macro work of social work. I was doing legislative work. I was doing advocacy work. Mm-hmm. Program planning. I was doing kind of some big picture things at that time because I'd already been working one-on-one and in small groups. Mm-hmm. And already when I was getting my master's, I was already jaded with the therapeutic model. I was already like, something's not working with the therapeutic model. So I want to get to preventative. I want to keep us from getting to need therapy.
And you know what? The preventative therapeutic model, or just the therapeutic model as it's stands, like my experience with it has been very frustrating, to say the least. So I want to know from your perspective, like, what did you see as a practitioner on your side? Because I'm looking at it as from a patient side. What do you see, like, first of all, what drew you to the field, and two, what did you see that you think could be improved?
I think what drew me to the field was my love of service, actually, like my love of service and journeying together. So what I want to say is that before I went through official school, I went to unofficial school. So I spent 10 years in an ashram, and that is really the foundation of some of my work. At the time, I wasn't there to get a training, you know, a certification or anything. I was there to learn about my inner terrain. And I was there also because I wanted to know God, actually. Mm-hmm. I'd always wanted to know God as a human, as a small being. And I looked and I was looking and looking everywhere for what would line me up, you know? And so I just walked into this meditation class on a night that I had open in my schedule and started just doing this meditation. And it was a chakra-based meditation, and something started to happen in my system, and I found a place of belonging and moved into an ashram and got married there and had a kid. And it had some issues. It was a very intense learning experience in all the directions, you know, mm-hmm. good, bad, and the ugly. But I came out of there with a set of training that I didn't know I had, because I'd just been living it for 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. So I came out of there, and then I went in. I had already been working at homeless shelters and addiction treatment centers, and but I was still in there actually when I got my MSW, and I thought, okay, well, yeah, I want to work in this area. I want to work in the area of social justice and mm-hmm. Services for people, and so I just got, yeah, I went and got my MSW. I thought that would be the route to go. I didn't really know what I wanted to do with it at that time. Mm-hmm. I just knew that I needed more education. I needed more experience in the world. So that's the route I went. And then when I got out of graduate school, I was, you know, still living at the ashram, but started working part-time, running an organization, doing some program planning and evaluation. And then I, you know, I was raising a kid at that time. So I was not interested in like developing my career. I was a full-time mom and just working part-time for some money. And then as she started to age and things happened and people kept telling me I should go into therapy. And I'm like, no, it doesn't work. I don't want to do that. And something, you know, just my own self-study was continuing and something just kind of dropped in. And I saw a path. I saw a way to connect the learning that I had received in this ashram experience and uh-huh. meld it with a different experience of that I kind of got through work experience and also my MSW and right. how I could support people in working through their challenges in a very different way than anyone else was doing. And I really right. was very green. I was very innocent and ignorant. Also, I was just like, hey, who wants to try this thing? I was mm-hmm. just guinea pigging people, like doing it for free, then doing it for trade, then doing it for very low cost. And then before I knew it, like literally within the year, I had a full client schedule. So mm-hmm. just it's kind of a strange story. It's not your typical story, but that's right. kind of me.
So you didn't go get your master's in social work and join like a county therapy program, or you just built your own business?
I built my own. I'd already worked in the county mm-hmm. and was working at a treatment center that right. the county ran. So I kind of did that first, and then just yeah, I would develop my own methodology, my own approach, and then just open my own private practice.
So before we start talking about the methodology in detail that you developed, I want to know a little bit more about like, what was it like living in that ashram? And
yeah.
Like, what was one of the lessons that you learned that kind of gave mm-hmm. you the confidence to do therapy on your own? Because that's a very yeah. non-traditional route.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I really have the answer to that question. But I'll just tell you that there's something inside of my system that's just geared towards truth. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's jargon, you know, and so we can get lost in the jargon of that. But that's the best words I've got right in this.
Well,
moment.
I mean, that makes sense, because a lot of people are not 100% honest with themselves about their motivations or mm-hmm. their desires or, yeah. you know, how they feel mm-hmm. about certain things that have happened, and yeah. then it causes, you know, a bunch of what we call disintegration, but in layman's terms, it's like you feel icky inside, right?
Right, a lot of ickiness.
Yeah, you feel a lot of ickiness, and so,
So that experience, like, it taught me discipline, it taught me service, or seva, we would call it. It taught me a lot about like egoic programming and somatic programming. It taught me about about love, you know, a direct relationship with we might call love or God or whatever word we want to give to that which is wiser than our small self. It taught me to slow down and to feel in. Those years, they were very experiential. It was not the kind of ashram, like we didn't do intellectualism. We didn't do hardcore study in books. We did chanting every morning. We did meditation every morning and every night. We did meditation every morning and every night. We had intensives where we would meditate and chant all day. And then I worked in an ashram business. So I was at a restaurant. So I was cooking food while I was chanting. And it was kind of surreal, you know, but very real living it, you know. So my world was really surrounded by a practice of service. And you know, there's a lot of hidden traps in that, right? So my lineage, I do have a lineage, and there was some appropriation happening. I didn't know that word at the time. There was some unhealed trauma. My teacher had some unhealed trauma that she hadn't dealt with. And so there was misuse of power. So it became something different at the end. As I matured and was married and had a child, my interests and my attention shifted, right? And then different other people the play was different, right? The last few years, particularly after my daughter was born, were very different, and lots of patterning was seen outside of me as well as in me. And yeah, it was a whole thing. It was fairly culty. It was very hard to get out of. I didn't see a way out really for a long time until I realized I had postpartum depression. And I was like, I gotta get out of here. Like something just woke up, you know. And that's just kind of how my system works. It's like something wakes me up and that's it. You know, I can't close my eyes again.
So that
happened, and my husband and I left, and we left with our almost 4-year-old daughter at the time, and started again. And it was very painful, very challenging, like all the things that you might hear about with cults, the deprogramming in my psychosis and my system, like that all had to happen. And but that also then led me the way to support other people that had been in cult like experiences, right? So everything feeds everything, is what I don't really necessarily wish that experience on anybody, but it has been used for good. I'll say. And so I'm trying to get back. Yeah, I think I was trying to remember your original question, but I think I actually answered it.
Yeah. What caused you to, what inspired
what
you?
What I learned there, right?
Yeah. What did you learn there, and what's inspired you to start your own therapeutic modality and practice?
Yeah, that took a little bit longer because I needed to integrate that experience. And it took me some years to do that. And I got to see like, ooh, my own patterning and my own trauma that led me there and kept me there and didn't keep me, you know, kept me from speaking up and saying that things aren't right here, you know? I also was able to see how power is misused, and how when practices that come from indigeneity are taken on by folks who haven't done their trauma work, or haven't done their own work, then it gets misaligned, which is very common when, you know, you see practices that come in from other countries in the United States, and they're bastardized. They're not in their true form anymore. They've been corrupted, right? So I got to live that. Just like did a lot of self-work, and you know, I unschooled my daughter, so I was unlearning all of the supposed to's and shoulds with regards to raising a kid. I didn't spank my kid, or I breastfed for a very long time. I did all the things that are very counterculture when you raise a kid. So I was kind of constantly like questioning, like, what are these things that culture says to do? What are these things that my parents are telling me? She should be reading by now. She should be X, Y, Z-ing by now. And me going, let me slow down to see like, what's like, should she be? You know, what are we doing here? Right? What's being centered? Is it capitalistic norms, or is it heart norms, right? Mm-hmm. Mostly it's all, everyone wants capitalistic norms to be followed, but there was something in my system, and luckily I had a lot of support here in the homeschooling community to support heart norms and to mm-hmm. support right relationship with my kid, you know? So she was really a big educator for me. She was like my little Buddha. Mm-hmm. She still is, but she was really like the focal point of my learning for about another 6 years. And in that time, things started to shift. And then by the time she was about nine, I started to form my practice.
So tell me about the Matrix Integration Exploration 2023. What okay. is it? How has it transformed the lives of those who have went yeah. through it?
Yeah. So I did the first one about 3 years ago. So this will be the third year. And this year's little subtext is called Remembering the Depths of Our Inner Voices, an exploration of building capacity with shadow and trusting abundance. What came from to develop that first year exploration is that I had been doing one-to-one work, and I still do one-to-one work, and I do love one-to-one work. But in my own personal journey, I found that there is a limitation of healing and integration and evolvement, that there's a limitation when we're just doing it one-to-one. There's something that happens in our system when we do it in community. And I think that the reason that is because we're community-oriented people. We're actually a community and a tribal species, but we live in a separatist culture that tells everybody you can do everything like individualized. But the reality is that we're a tribal culture, a species that works interdependently, right?
Right. So
I wanted more people to know that. I had been doing that in my own worlds, online and in person, and I could just watch the programming in me to be distrustful of life and in people. Like, that was what started to dissolve it. Like, nothing could get at it except being with people. I think an ego personality structure will preserve certain things in oneself, and unless a person is engaging in a little bit outside of a comfort zone but with support, those parts just keep feeding themselves, you know. So that all the one-to-one work I was getting, I was really unraveling a lot, but it wasn't until I was in community where people were really seeing the full me in carefully created contexts and containers that the shifting really started to happen. So I wanted to create that. I'd already been leading groups for years and trainings for years, but this was a whole other, like a whole other thing that I was developing that wasn't rooted in like really capitalist structures of certification and, you know, agendas to get XYZ and more money and more status. And like, I led those trainings for a while, and then I was like, I don't want to do those anymore. I actually want to do things that are really healthy interdependence based. So yeah, that's how I got doing this.
Do you find that there's a lot of people who are, you know, dealing with a lot of deep rooted, you know, emotional pain and lack the capacity and tools to unpack that?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think anyone has the tools magically, like just by intuition, not in this culture. If you come from perhaps some pockets of culture that maintained indigeneity practices, then yes. But for most of us who are really seeped in capitalistic practices, like, we don't have the tools for we-ness or for heart. We have the tools for making money and notoriety and things like that. We have a lot of those tools, but we don't really have tools and practices of the heart and of connection. So
when you say tools of the heart and connection, can you elaborate?
Yeah. So tools or practices, anything that will help us slow down with what's here. It could be thoughts that are here. It could be sensations that are here, emotions. It could be different energy resonances, you know, And you and I have been in community before, so we share practices that we do at the Remember Institute, and those practices have been refined, and other groups do similar practices. But practices of slowing down and connecting to, you know, what are our fears? What are our desires? Like, where are we out of alignment? Where am I like not showing up in my own life? Where am I not in my integrity of being, right?
Right.
Well, I was never taught to be integrity of my being. I was kind of taught to be in everyone else's being, like,
right.
Take care of someone else, you know?
And, right.
But being in my own being and being a participant in my own life is very counterintuitive for me, continues to be counterintuitive in a lot of ways, you know? But it's what I find to be the core of empowerment, an empowerment culture, right? So, gosh, I feel like I lost your question.
My question was, what have people
experienced? What are the practices that we,
mm-hmm.
So, okay. I mean, those are, I've named some of them, but they also are practices of nervous system and brain regulation. They mm-hmm. really, at their core, are all about slowing down. We have to slow down to do a practice. We have to slow down to ask ourselves, what's going on here, right? So in our culture, which is not encouraging us to slow down, it might be encouraging us to check out and dissociate, but it's not encouraging us to slow down in presence.
Yeah, slow down and engage.
Yeah, so we do meditation. I don't call them meditations because in the West, meditation has taken on this connotation of just kind of going up and out and like taking a vacation from life
mm-hmm.
and not being a participant in your own experience. So I think of them more as like rest meditations, where we're resting with the moment. We're resting with what's actually here in the moment. And so I do a lot of those. A lot of those are on Insight Timer, which is a free app. I try to put as much of my stuff into free avenues as possible. So mm-hmm. a lot of those are on Insight Timer. And they're different topics, but lately my new special interest is really the practicality of having a regulated nervous system and brain. Because okay. if we don't have a nervous system and a brain that's regulated, we can't really be with the moment. We can't be with our thoughts. Mm-hmm. We can't be with our sensations. We mm-hmm. can't be with our experiences, because a reptilian part of our brain is just taken over, or different parts of our brain are not in regulation, and then we're just not here. We're spinning out somewhere. We all know what that's like, right? So right. there's actually very concrete ways to slow that spinning out down. We can learn how to do that. So that's a big part of what I teach as well to my one-on-one clients and in my students. Everything I do is very practical. I'm a very practical, pragmatic person. And I think like being in relationship with love and God and life itself is practical. You know, okay. It's not reserved for some like elitist group of people or makes anyone special. It just makes somebody who wants to like, be in relationship with life, you know, in a practical lived reality.
Mm-hmm.
Hope that makes
Absolutely.
Sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. So how can people learn more about Matrix?
Matrix Integration
Exploration? Yeah, Exploration 2023.
Yeah. The best way to learn about it really is just to go to my blog. I've got the application is on my website, and that's integrativehealingnow.com/enroll.
Yes, that's the right link. Yeah.
Get it right.
Got it right.
Thank you so much for all of your help with all of this. So there is this year's application, and it has lots of quotes pulled out. It has lots of testimonials. I mean, really, it's hard to get a sense of what I do because it is very radical. We're literally rewiring and getting honest about the dominant oppressive narrative that we live in. And we're seeing what else is literally possible. And so we're restructuring our nervous systems, our brains, and the way that we relate to life. And that's mm-hmm. a whole process. And so it's hard to share about that in a quick, you know, in a blog post. So the right. testimonials kind of really get at what happens, but it's hard. Even people who've been into my courses for years are like, this is really hard to talk about. This is a whole transformation that's happening in my very own being, And it's hard to explain to people unless you've been through it. It's kind of that powerful in a way. So, but you can read about it in on the on my site. And I think
can I share one of the impact statements on your site with the listeners?
Yeah.
This one really stood out to me about the 2022 Matrix Integration Exploration impact statement. This participant says, I notice the running inner dialogue more, and I can recognize the negative patterns of thinking without being pulled into their narratives as much, if at all. There's a quiet and potent sense of strength, of sovereignty. There is also a greater felt sense of what it means to be alive. And perhaps the most rewarding part of taking this course is that there's no forcing of change. It organically happens as you show up for class and do the practices, and there's no end date on my change. I can keep changing as long as I'm alive, just like the trees outside my window.
Yeah, I love that last sentence because, I mean, it is so clear to my system that we are in relationship with everything, you know, trees.
Right.
I mean, I have a tattoo of a vine on my arm, you know, I'm very connected to that truth. And so I love that last line. But yeah, that's like, thank you for reading that. It makes me so grateful when I hear those testimonials.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I mean, when I read that, it stood out to me because I think, you know, as entrepreneurs, sometimes we get so committed to a certain way of being and doing, that doesn't serve us.
Oh yes.
And it's okay to change. It's okay to
yes,
change.
It's okay. Oh my
it
gosh.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It is okay. I mean, just like the trees outside, like everything.
They are like, that's why I kind of love this perspective that I have where I live is like, I am constantly seeing nature do nature, which is change and shift and grow and die and reborn. And like, guess what? We're nature, right? So
right,
I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, like the end of 2022 was definitely like a rebirthing period for me. And I watched it with so many of my clients, like this discernment, what am I doing? Where do I want to go? What's important to me? Like we just went up, had a full or a new moon the other day. Like what are the ethics like calling me or the ethos that's calling me, you know, and is what I'm doing in my life matching that?
Right. So, right.
You know, like making those hard choices of like, gosh, this is really familiar and maybe really fun, but it's actually not serving me.
Right.
I've got to make a change and like, oh shit, that's so uncomfortable. Right. So I just like went through a big one myself and it was really uncomfortable. You know, my system did not appreciate it. It wanted to go right. back to the old. But I'm like, yeah, we're here to evolve and to be our best self. And I have support. You know, I get support when I go through big changes. I would never want to do it by myself. You know, I don't have to do it by myself.
Right. Absolutely.
You know what that's like. You know how it is to be like with people who are like, yeah, I'm for you. Like, let's get it. You know,
yeah,
let's get it.
Absolutely. That's awesome. So I wanted to ask you before we close, do you have any shout outs?
Well, I mean, someone that we both love, Bridge Feltus. I love Bridge. I'm so grateful for Bridge. Bridge is, is one of those models of community that has been so important for me to be a part of and to see and experience. Mm-hmm. And then, gosh, I mean, so many people have influenced my life. I really hate this question because like I'm being flooded with images and names and pictures. And then I think I brought up Bridge because we share a Bridge and that's like, that's
right.
super easy and natural.
Yeah.
But there are so many gracious teachers out there right now who are really devoted to life.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Us continuing to be alive on the planet.
Right, right.
Doing it not through spite or through competition or through one-upmanship or whatever, but doing it really through like camaraderie and like let's do it together and let's collaborate and like we can all we can all live together. Like it's, you know, and I'm not answering your question exactly, but I am shouting out to all the people who are doing this hard work. Mm-hmm. And in my lineage, the people who've come before me, who I'm a second generation person in this country, and I am the granddaughter of somebody who was a refugee into this country and brought a lot of pain and trauma. I have a whole lineage of European trauma behind me, you know, and so there's some really important people in my own lineage that continue to be with me. Mm-hmm. My dad is left form, but my dad is a very big part of my life post form. So call out to my dad, who is, you know, who roots me on from beyond. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm just calling out like people who come before me. And calling out the land, like shouting out to this land that I'm on, right? Like I'm on stolen land. I'm not on land that was mine. And the land that is holding me, and the trees and the birds and the animals that are in co-creation here, that are gifting me the proof of love and life and abundance, really, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I could probably just go on and on about, you know, calling out and calling in and shouting out and calling in. it feels good to do that. Like, it feels good to celebrate, like, those who have come before and those who are going to come next and those who of us who are, like, journeying together. So I'm all, like, fired up now. Thanks for that question.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well,
is there anyone you want to lift in or bring in?
I think.
You want to share?
For me, who do I want to shout out? You know, anytime I'm doing a podcast and I have to shout out Mr. Benny Randall Jr. He is a mentor and friend, and he has been really encouraging and inspirational for me. It's, you know, there's sometimes in life when you're in business and you come across people who really have your back. He's one of those.
I know what that's like. I have those people too that I haven't named, and I don't think I need to name. I know they don't need to be named, but they are like right here with me. It makes everything different, right?
Yeah,
it's everything different.
Yeah, I carry all the lessons he's taught me, and I'm still working on getting some of them 100% right, but
if you get to that 100%, let me know.
Yeah, but you know, I think for me, I would like to shout out him. I would also like to shout out Reverend Ridge, of course, in community with you. And then I also want to shout out Karen Briggs. I want to shout her out. I think she's in Senegal right now. And she is, for those who don't know, she played the violin with Yanni years ago on that video that was one of the best-selling music concerts of all time, live at the Acropolis. And
yeah, I know that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So Karen is I consider her another important mentor in my life. And yeah, I just want to shout out to her because she's just incredible, and she's built a career out of music, and she's continuing to go from strength to strength, and she continues to inspire me. And yeah, so that's who I would like to shout out. And I would also like to shout out Sharifa Hardy at AskSharifa.com. She is a phenomenal entrepreneur doing a lot of great things in the city of Long Beach. So I want to. Yeah, I could go on and on and on. Shout out.
Yeah, it's fun. It feels good.
Yeah, absolutely. Gratitude is so important. So before we go, I want to ask you the final question. What three pieces of advice would you give to other entrepreneurs and or aspiring entrepreneurs?
Okay. Yeah. This is something that I'm still working on, but in the early days, I didn't have to work on it. I don't know why. I just somehow in the early days, I found this modality and I just did it. Like I just leaned in. I was willing to be, maybe I was willing to be embarrassed, or I was willing for it to flop, or I don't know, but I knew I had touched into something, and I don't think I had anything to lose by just seeing,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I put it out there, and I put flyers up in my town, and I put it on Facebook, like, who wants a, I was doing just like astral plane readings for a while too, like, who just wants a reading? Send me a question, I'll just do a reading and send your, you know, or, so just, I think if you come upon something that really has a resonance, go with the vision, just go with it. Be your visionary self. So that's one thing. Two is, when you do that, or as you do that, do it in collaboration, do it, reach out, get support. Don't try to do your visionary work isolated, because how visionary is that? You know, so use your community, I guess would be the, or utilize your community would be the second thing. And stay really slow, and stay slow and connected, and keep working on your own traumas and your own barriers with your, you know, with your healers or your therapists or whatnot. I still have those people in my life. They're really important. I think we all need some checks and balances in a way. And I could have lost humility real easily, real fast when I was successful. But that would have not been me walking my talk, right? Mm-hmm. So staying with your vision, get support with your vision, and do your internal work. And that also includes, like, you know, your internal work, whatever that means for you, your internal work with God and your internal work with your psyche, and like all the layers, right? Like, I'm not a separatist.
Right.
All open.
The layers. Yep. I think that's, I mean, honestly, like, for any entrepreneur, any person, like, that's phenomenal advice and definitely a key to success. So you've been listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to get you more customers, clients, and revenue without paying for expensive advertising. We do this and help you to get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We're broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening, check out SEOQueen.com and click on Speak to the SEO Queen and book a complimentary strategy session. Just go to SEOQueen.com, click on Speak to the SEO Queen, and book a Reach More Clients Power session. Today's guest has been Lisa, owner and founder of Integrative Healing Now, and enrollment for Matrix Integration Exploration number 3 is open. Remembering the depth of our inner voices, an exploration of building capacity with shadow and trusting abundance. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time.
It's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow. Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. the Shiny Radio app for free now.